Hi, welcome to Holden Village. In the Creekside Room, today's speaker is Linda Allen, and she will be speaking on God's Daughters, a workshop for all ages. So let's listen in on Linda.
My name is Linda Allen, for those of you who weren't here before. And I have been a performing artist and a songwriter for about 25 years. I'm co-director of a new endeavor called the Northwest Center for Art and Community, which I'd be happy to tell you about after class. And the focus of the writing I have done has usually been around women's lives and women's history. That's been a strong interest to me. And the style that's particularly appealed has been storytelling. So just this past year, I initiated a project called God's Daughters. And God's Daughters, for me, was as the project evolves, because it is continually evolving, one thing that has evolved is God's Daughters will include workshops. And the workshop on Monday on images of God, and the one today on biblical women. And it will include a body of songs, which will hopefully be used as a resource for the church. And it's songs that have been written out of my own attempts to better understand God, to make God real to me. And it's a more open, I suppose, expression of God than many of the kinds that one traditionally hears. So I felt that in the body of Christian music, too often, and what you hear on the Christian radio stations is one perspective, and I felt it was important to create a resource which offers a different perspective. So that's what I'm attempting to do. But the class today, as I said, will focus more on biblical women. And the reason I'm excited about sharing some of this is that I took some wonderful classes I spent last year in Berkeley. My husband's a second year seminary student, just finished his second year. Hi, Judy. And so he shared with me a lot of the things that he was learning, as well as the fact that I got to take two classes of my own and started tapping into books that I didn't know existed, because 10, 20 years ago, when I began some of my own forays into different images of God, different ways of thinking about God, there weren't a whole lot of resources out there. But in the past 10 or 15 years, it's just blossomed. So I was interested, and because I'm a storyteller, I'm interested in women's stories, women of the Bible. You know, what were they like really, other than these few passages that we read about them? And so I got a hold of a series of books. This is one of them, called Woman Witness, A Feminist Lectionary and Psalter, Women of the Hebrew Scriptures, Part 2. Here's one of them. Woman Word is another one, and this one deals with women of the New Testament. And the other one is the second part on the Old Testament. And I just loved these books. I loved these books because, first of all, they were very succinct stories of the women in the Bible. There would be a biblical passage. But along with the biblical passage would be a bit more explanation about who these women were in context of their time and culture, as more through the eyes of a lot of the feminist scholarship of the past years. And it so enriched my understanding of who these women were, and they suddenly became much more like me, like people I have known in my life. And I found it to be just a really liberating thing. So that's what we're doing today. We're going to be talking some about women of the Bible. The other thing about this book is that it didn't end with what we know, because growing out of the culture that it did and the time that it did, we know that a lot more was left out of the stories than was put in when it concerned women particularly. And so the Miriam Therese Winter, who wrote these books, is also a poet and a songwriter, and this is what comes out of these books. She takes what we know, but then she, you know, let's create from this. Let's use our imagination. Let's try and fill in the gaps beyond that. And I found that very exciting, to think about the artistic possibilities there of owning that voice, of finding our own voices through hearing the voices of these women and creating voices for the women who were voiceless. So creating voices for them. So we're going to do a quick check-in. I would like you each to introduce yourself. And I want to give you a little challenge. I'd like you each to give me the name of one woman of the Bible who has in some way positively or negatively affected you. Someone whose story that you were inspired by, someone who you thought, well, I certainly don't want to be like that. And share any of that story you might know. Jonathan, you get to be first.
Okay. I'm Jonathan Betzall, and I don't remember the woman's name. Is it Ruth, maybe? The one who went with her mother-in-law and stayed with her family when her husband died.
Yes.
I was inspired by her because I feel like I joined my wife's family. Tried to really integrate myself into that. I didn't make the same kind of sacrifices at all, but it was quite inspiring.
Thank you.
Did you hear what we're asking?
I guess so.
Yeah.
I didn't hear a bit. I'm Rosie Betzall, and let's see. Well, I guess the person who inspired me was, is it with Miriam, who wanted to sit at Jesus' feet instead of going in the kitchen?
Or was it Martha and Mary?
Mary. Martha was in the kitchen. And so that inspired me.
Which one did, Mary?
Mary.
Just this past year, I did a little thinking about Martha. You know, I started beginning to think, well, she had some reason to be irritated. Here she was trying
she
to
sure
pull
did.
Everything together. And, you know.
She had lots of reasons. Yeah.
There was also an insight that I just gained this last week, and I hope I don't twist this around, because I'm not a scholar. I'm not here as a scholar. What I love about Holden is this wonderful balance, because the scholars are here, and I've learned so much from the work they've done, but then I kind of take it in different directions, and I don't try to do what they do. But as I recall, I read a little passage in some book that said that Martha comes up another time in the Bible in which she's one of the first to say, you know, you are the Lord. She does basically the confession, the same kind of thing. Am I right, Gary? I know you're probably more up on this. But she was one of the first who actually said, you are the Christ. You are the Lord. And when Peter said that, they built a whole church around him. You know, they built, he became, because of his confession, he became, you know, the head of the Roman Catholic tradition. And Mary or Martha somehow didn't get that quite that same acclamation, but she basically did that as well. Anyway, I just thought I'd throw that in. Okay.
I'm Phyllis Stonebrook, and I'm not sure that this one is even mentioned in the Bible, but she's always fascinated me. Mm-hmm. And that's Lilith, who is to have been Adam's first wife.
Do you know anything of her? This is a story I'm interested in, too, and I don't know anything.
Well, there are many stories, and of course she's considered in the later literature to be a negative, witch-like creature, which I don't believe she was. She was created independent of Adam, and in the wonderful feminist literature that's coming out about her now, refused to be dominated by him. Was unable to stay in the Garden of Eden with Adam, and so then Eve came along as the second one.
Interesting. So, where did that tradition come from? Where do we know about Lilith?
Well,
is it biblical? Are there references?
It's some of the apocryphal materials, yes. And I believe there are some references to Lilith, but they're quite few and hidden now.
I'd be interested to see what one of these books might say about her, too, but it's interesting. Thank you. Judy.
I'm Judy, and I first thought about Judith. I've always had a hard time with Judith because she was so, had such a violent task to perform, and wondered where I would be if I had the chance to, you know, cut off someone's head. And my mother didn't even know that story, so I was sort of a Judy Garland more baby, not a Judith, biblical Judith. So I can't really say that she's influenced me, but I spent a lot of time thinking about her. But I think Mary is my main biblical woman. I've always felt, although I'm a Protestant, I have a terrific
It's not, oh, I'm Laurie Miller. And it's not so much a woman in the Bible that's influenced me, but when I think about one that I admired, it's the nameless woman who comes and washes Jesus' feet while he's at a meal with the other men. And she, despite breaking the rules of cleanliness and proper religious table etiquette, uses her expensive ointment to wash his feet. And I like it because of her courage to really break the rules, and also the image of just abundant generosity that her perfumed oil, and then wiping his feet with her hair, because of the sensuality, which doesn't always come through in the Bible.
I'm Nadine, and Lydia is an intriguing character to me because I'm a weaver. And I think the thing about Lydia is, if you know anything, you know about Lydia and the Purple Club. But she, in her time, she was quite an oddity because I think her husband and she both ran this business, this trade. They were on the, the main trade routes, and then something happened to him, and she was her own businesswoman, and I think that is a remarkable thing.
Where do we find her?
I don't know.
Somewhere.
In the writings of the Acts.
She's one I also have in mind, because she seemed such an oddity to be this businesswoman who was still respected by those in the very early church listening to. But that's not the one I was thinking. I'm Luleen Davidson, and along with Ruth, I look to Naomi. We are starting a brand new women's circle in our church, and it's a spin-off from what's been the Ruth Circle. We chose to name it Naomi, and because really isn't coming from the circle. And I think about Ruth, yes, that she went with her mother-in-law and stayed with her mother-in-law and her mother-in-law, but I also think about this mother-in-law who left with her husband and her two sons and went to a strange land and all that that must have meant. And then when they have all died, she releases the daughter-in-laws and says, go to your own family. And what would that have meant for her in the days of how widows were cared for? And then goes home and arranges a way for Ruth to again be married and have a lot of admiration for her stamina and her faith.
Thank you for that perspective. I hadn't thought about that, but it's very, very true.
I'm Lula Schwartz. I've always wanted a model. Even in our church, there's always some woman that I try to model my life about who was her. So always Mary, the mother of Jesus. I've just read all that I could read about her. There isn't too much in concordances or places where you read about Mary, the mother of Jesus, except in the Bible. And we aim our life to be something like somebody else. Of course, who could attain that? I don't know.
That's true. Thank you.
Carrie Graffon. Priscilla was in the team minister of the Quill in the New Testament. Clergy couple. Rahab, who helped Joshua. Sarah, who laughed at God's word. And into some laughter. And there's so many.
Well, several of you mentioned Mary. I think I'm going to see. Okay, I'm going to sing you a song that I wrote about Mary. Oh, and also here's about Lydia. Is somebody interested in reading?
I don't know anything about.
That's a great series. If you're not familiar with it, we're just.
Illustrated by Lyman Craighead. Right. Right. What was fun for me, too, was finding out that she had written, it was an album of songs that I loved 25 years ago. I swear it was that long. Joyous Like the Rain. Right.
Oh.
When I was in college. And this is
really surprised when this was the
Yeah.
She's grown a lot since then.
You used to what?
Play with her.
Your tears?
Yeah.
Miriam?
Uh-huh.
Oh. She's one of my heroes at the moment. And I'd love to know more about her life. This is going to be in the concert tonight, too. Get a little preview. Mary, Mary, there's a strange light coming, and it's coming to your window now. It's standing at your door, and you welcome the mystery, the God-given ecstasy. You cry, my
you can all join in the course now that you know.
That's right. Let's see. There was a reading, too, from, you have Woman Word? Is that the one you have? There's a little piece of paper stuck in there. You can actually pass this around. It's page 15. And you want to read one section and then pass it?
Sure. Okay. Mary's Song, a song for every woman. Oh, it's a...
Well, it says leader and...
Mary and all, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Okay. My soul celebrates Shaddai. Is that how we say it?
Shaddai.
Shaddai. My spirit sings to Shekinah Shaddai.
For she erases my anonymity, so that all generations of women are called blessed.
She who has power to open the womb has done great things for me. Holy is her name.
Mercy flows through mother to daughter, from generation to generation.
Her maternal strength strikes at the roots of the evil, and it departs.
She pushes the proud from the pinnacles of power and lifts up little people.
She feeds her hungry daughters, but those who are filled to the brim with opportunity, she sends away. She soothes all those who turn to her, remembering her compassion.
Keeping her promise to Sarah and her progeny forever. That was called Mary's Song, a song for it.
Would you look in that book, page 156 and 157? And this is the story of the other Mary. And the other Mary has come down through tradition basically as a whore. I think whenever I've thought of Mary, I've thought of Mary as a prostitute. And yet, biblically, there's nothing said about her being a prostitute. So it's just sort of one of those cases when somehow women got a bum rap. We don't really know why this happened. It said that there were seven demons cast out, but no one knows what they were. And so people made assumptions. Because women so often have, because they needed to balance Mary, I guess. If Mary was going to be a saint, then they needed Mary Magdalene to be a whore. It's really very confusing, but too often that's what happens. We seem to have to fit in one category or another through literature. And so I liked the retelling or the telling of her story here. Would somebody like to read it? It's about two pages long, but I think it's worth reading. And then I'll read the song that inspired.
Should we pass it around?
Could you? Just do that. I think I marked a beginning and an end, a little pen mark there, right at the very beginning, 156 and 157. Is there a little pencil mark?
Yes.
Do you see a pencil mark? I don't see it.
No,
that
is
probably on a different piece. The biography and the context, just to there.
Okay.
Biography. It is time to relinquish the false mythology surrounding Mary of Magdala. She was neither prostitute nor penitent, nor was she Luke's public sinner who washed the feet of Jesus with her tears and wiped them with her hair. Presumptions long supported by Western spirituality and art. On the other hand, neither is she Mary of Bethany, with whom she has also been confused. She was one of the Galilean women who accompanied Jesus on his mission. Scriptural evidence indicates that she was a leader in that female circle. Luke suggests that she had been previously liberated from some serious personal affliction, but whether this was physical or otherwise, we will probably never know. We do know that Jesus singled her out for a private revelation on Easter morning, making her the first of all the apostles and disciples to see and proclaim Jesus as risen Christ.
Actually, I prefer not to read it.
whenever scripture speaks of the Galilean women who followed Jesus, Mary Magdalene heads the list. She is often named with several others, indicating an inner circle of prominence similar to the apostolic leadership of Peter, James, and John. Tradition supports her leadership role both in the New Testament and in Gnostic writings. In several Gnostic Gospels, she is portrayed as a spiritual companion of Jesus who alone understood the mysteries of his message and who interpreted these to the others, including the male apostles, some of whom resented her status and the special love Jesus had for her. One can only wonder if the strength of this latter tradition was in some way the basis for discrediting Mary and her historicity. The Gospels give conflicting accounts regarding her presence during major events in the life of Jesus. There's a difference of opinion about whether Mary Magdalene was standing at the foot of the cross as Jesus was dying, John places her there, or watching from a distance. John's account of her experiences on Easter morning differs in certain details from the others, but this can be attributed to the writer's particular theological emphases.
Is that the end?
Yeah, that was a lecture I'm reading.
Okay. I was asked to sing at a Good Friday service and did a lot of thinking about Mary at that time. And this is the song. There's a part that keeps coming around called Waiting for the Morning, Waiting for the Light. And you'll hear it. It's quite repetitious, so feel free to sing along. I think I was his best friend, and I loved him long and well. From the Galilean desert to the lonely edge of hell. And I loved him like a woman, and I loved him like a friend. But the very love that healed me just might kill me in the end. Waiting for the morning, waiting for the light, waiting for the morning, waiting for the light. God knows I was afflicted, though it wasn't like some said. I was no whore, but other demons danced around my head. Then he reached right out and touched me, and I looked into his face. And I'll never understand it, but my soul was bathed in grace. Waiting for the morning, waiting for the light, waiting. Waiting for the light. So I came to be with him. He chose me on that day. Some thought we were lovers, and we were, well, in a way. For he shared his deepest thoughts with me, the shadow and the fears. And I've never seen such courage. My face has felt his tears. Waiting for the morning, waiting for the light, waiting for the morning, waiting for the light. By day we walked and planned and hoped, by night we talked and prayed. I think his friends were jealous, but they stayed out of my way. Then one day near Jerusalem, he shared a mystery. He seemed so pale and frightened, and I cried, how can this be? Waiting for the morning, waiting for the light, waiting for the morning, waiting for the light. I went to tell the others, they could not understand. I hardly understood myself, a sacrificial lamb. But then today the sky turned black, my love nailed to a tree. The others were in hiding, but I just had to see. Waiting for the morning, waiting for. They laid him, it is cold. The darkness seems so heavy, and I feel so lost and old. The tears are all cried out now,
distant cry. What God would send an only son to suffer and to die. Waiting for the morning, waiting for the night, waiting for the morning, waiting for the light. I don't believe that God did that. It's people that are cruel. Those who threaten power will be killed by those who rule. But life springs forth from darkness, and this I do believe. A life lived well and holy has planted many seeds. And I will pray and work and hope, and I will carry on. And in the darkness listen for the coming of the dawn.
Talk about, get your impressions on another woman of the Bible, and that's the woman at the well. And let's just maybe share a few thoughts. Sometimes tricky to switch gears quite this fast. Now, she doesn't have a name, we know that much, which is very often true. We know she was triply despised. She was a woman, she was a Samaritan, and she was 5 times divorced and living with someone who was not her own husband. So, for a few minutes, I'd like you to maybe sit with this woman. I want you to think about what it might have felt like to be this woman. Maybe to think about why was she divorced 5 times? Someone brought up this week that she was going to the well at the edge of town because she was not allowed to go to the well in the closer. Inside of town. That was something I hadn't heard before, but I thought was interesting. I'm going to ask you to take a little chance with me. You who were in my class before know what I'm going to ask you to do. The reason the chairs are pushed back like this are we're going to try a very simple dance. And you're not required to do this. If you want to sit, that's okay. If you want to be a social outcast, that's okay. It's really okay. I'm not a dancer. That is not my art form. But I had a most wonderful class with a liturgical dancer in the fall, last fall, who made me believe that we are all dancers. So I say I'm not a dancer, but on the other hand, I am, and we all are. So don't particularly look to me for leadership in this dance. I'll be stumbling around like you all will. But I found that incorporating, when you're trying to get into what it may have felt like to be this person, I found that moving to this was a way. And the more you do it, the more it's true. But it was a way of bringing this woman home to me by putting her in my body in a way that I had never felt before. For me, it was very powerful. And we danced many women of the Bible. That's what this class was about. We studied a woman, and then we danced her. And so we're going to try dancing the woman at the well. So what I want you all to do is just stand. It's very short, 5 minutes. Maybe a little stretching. This is her water jug. And I'm going to going to, and she probably held it like this. So after the music begins, we're going to be kind of moving together, and you're going to be passing this jug from one to another. And I want you to feel, think about this woman. Maybe she divorced 5 times because she had 5 abusive husbands. Who knows? I don't know what the laws were about divorce in that culture in that time. Some of you may be able to spread some light, but it was certainly difficult times to be a woman. And to be a woman who's been ostracized from her community, the loneliness, when you're so dependent on your community, must have been extremely difficult. So I want us to think about that as we move to her. And then I'll be reading and filling in a few more parts of the story. And then we'll move those parts of the story. And make it up. There's no right or wrong way to do this. And use up space as you can. Don't be afraid to go down. Don't be afraid to reach up. At one point, you're going to be drawing water from the well. You can think about how you would do that. At one point, you're going to be mostly listening to Jesus who's talking to you. And then you're going to be sharing what you've heard. I'm very excited. Put down the water jug here. Oh, spread the news. As I said, don't follow me. I'll be a little bit doing some reading. Moving down here. Thank you. never be thirsty again. You put down your water jar.
Did you still have it? Put it down. Put it down.
And you're going to the village, and you are going to spread the word. You are spreading this news. It's incredible news. You've met Christ. You've met Jesus. You can't believe it. And many Samaritans from the village believe in him on the strength of a woman's testimony. Find one person to celebrate with. Dan. Now move to another person. The word is spreading from one to another. Monday was the very first time we'd done it. And we were all kind of moving in a circle. And this time was wonderful. It's just really flowing. It's just a delight to see what you did. Well, I want to talk just a few minutes about resources. They have good people here who can share books. I'll share just a few that I found in the library. We're going further. Wait a minute, I want to do something. Before we do that, set that aside. I'm not quite ready to leave the dance yet. How did it feel? Any comments about what it felt to dance the woman at the well?
It was easier to dance the joy part than it was the beginning.
The whole thing about the woman in the well made me look at her in a very different way. And I thought that maybe she'd been 5 times divorced because she couldn't have children.
That would be a big
deal. Says she has children or something. you know, and so the heaviness of that burden in that society.
Mm-hmm. That is a possibility. Any other thoughts?
I had a real... I turned towards that painting while we were... Well, Jesus was talking, you know, that was my web. Mm-hmm. And it was very moving, almost overwhelming. And I think it was because I turned away from everyone else. So I didn't see anyone. It was really powerful. But before that, I just had to say that we got to see Peter, Paul, and Mary the night before we left for Holden. And they were well, their song, if anybody remembers their song.
Oh, yeah.
It was such a good piece. They didn't sing it, though. I was hoping that they
didn't. How did it feel to the men to take on the persona of a woman when trying to dance? Was that really difficult?
No. Partly for me, I was thinking of a real person that I know who could have been called a woman to well. I did back from community organizing days long ago. I had been divorced multiple times and had, you know, children clearly by different fathers. Mm-hmm. Thinking about her, I didn't know her all that well, but the little I knew did kind of fit the story. And so thinking of her was really easy. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Any other comments?
I wonder why she was divorced, and so I pretended that I had that I have it in front of me.
Oh.
So I danced with a misshapen leg.
This isn't a response to the dance, but just an insight that I had reading the scripture a while back. I was reading some commentaries on the woman at the well, and I think that may have been that I had some old commentaries and not resources that it would have been more helpful. But a lot of commentaries seem to be that she should somehow be ashamed because she'd been married so many times, and that it was the commentary was making a judgment on her sexuality. When I knew in reality that husband can divorce the wife, and it wasn't her fault. And what really got me as I got into the scripture was she had the confidence to engage in conversation with Jesus, and in fact asked him a question about, you know, and I can't remember the phrase or the specifics, but something about why do you worship here and not there, and it was sort of a political question. And so I was imagining that maybe the reason she'd been divorced 5 times is that she was too outspoken.
Too smart.
Yeah.
And the fact that she was able to get the metaphor about the water. Mm-hmm. And the water, and it was like she was right there. Yeah. And give me some of this water.
Yeah. John Powell, who's a Jesuit, does a wonderful kind of interpretation of this in one of his books. Stories of God or stories of the Spirit, but just very sensitive and insightful. The dialogue between Jesus and this woman. And I thought of that as really beautiful.
Just a few minutes of resource sharing. I've already talked plenty about Mary. I'm definitely a fan of those. And these are just some that were in the Holden Library, and I can't really speak to them very well. But they all are portraits of biblical living. And this is Women of Faith and Spirit. A new one, To Love Delilah, Claiming the Women of the Bible. And this is Eve and Lot's wife, and Delilah, some of those, Jezebel. Maybe you're retelling some of those stories. The Women Around Jesus. Her Story is a book that I really enjoyed. I know Phyllis Trible's books moved me. I mean, you can have all levels of how deeply you want to delve into this, but Phyllis Trible is quite a scholar, and I first read her Texts of Terror, and it is truly a remarkable book if you want to go very deeply into the biblical references and going back to the Greek and what it really meant and ways that the interpretation has changed. But it really talks about the women in a way, a lot of stories I had not heard, that I had maybe quickly read over in the Old Testament, and suddenly, let's look at this again. Do you see what happened to this woman? And I found that to be a very powerful book. Other books that you've read that you found particularly useful? On this subject, particularly about biblical women. Excuse me. Okay. Well, there's a couple more things in the last 5 minutes or so we have to do. There's a poem. Let's see. Which book? I think this one. There's a poem and a song that I want to sing. And then I'm done. And have a suggestion for those who might want to carry forward is to take some woman of the Bible. This would be your assignment, which we're not going to have a chance to follow up on, but take some woman of the Bible and find a way to artistically interpret her in whatever way is comfortable for you. Again, it may be through a poem or a song or a writing. It may be a piece of pottery. A sculpture, it may be a dance. But see if you can find some way to express a woman of the Bible and to see what you come up with. And then if you want to share anything with me, I am unfortunately leaving tomorrow evening, but I would love to know any ideas you might have or if you want to talk about that. This is a psalm in praise of heroines. Well, we can pass this around. We'll start this one.
Are you going to start it?
No.
Okay.
Remember Eve, our matriarch and mother of all the living. We praise you, Eve, and all women who have had to make difficult choices in seductive environments.
remember Hagar, matriarch of a portion of God's people. We praise you, Hagar, and all women who bravely bear the burden of being labeled second class.
Remember Shipra and Pua, midwives in the land of bondage. We praise you, Shipra and Pua, and all women who risk their lives to bring forth life when the laws are stacked against them.
Remember Miriam, prophetic leader of the Exodus. We praise you, Miriam, and all women who have challenged male authority and been cursed with banishment.
Remember Mala, Noah, Hogla, Milka, and Tirzah, feminists in the Promised Land. We praise you, Mala, Noah, Hogla, Milka, and Tirzah, and all women who have pushed religious authority to consider gender equality.
Remember Jael, liberator of her people. We praise you, Jael, and all women who have single-handedly saved us from destruction of any kind.
Remember the heroine of Phoebus, who spontaneously saved her people. We praise you, heroine of Phoebus, and all women who waste no time in solving problems, who learn through experience.
Remember the Shunammite woman, the prophet Elisha's friend. We praise you, Shunammite woman, and all women who refuse to be dismissed.
Remember Rizpah, a mother who had to deal with kings. We praise you, Rizpah, and all women who stand firm and refuse to cover up a patriarchal sin.
Remember Judith, a widow and savior of her people. We praise you, Judith, and all women who make the impossible possible and do it with finesse.
Remember Queen Vashti, who resisted pressure from the throne. We praise you, Queen Vashti, and all women who resist the pressure to parade and perform before the eyes of men.
Remember Esther and the courage of her deed. We praise you, Esther, our sister Hadassah, and all women who use their status to foster life, who have intervened to counteract genocidal extermination.
We remember all our heroines, named and unnamed, known and unknown. We thank you and we praise you.
Thank you. I'll sing one more song. And then those who need to leave can. And if you want to stay a few minutes, I'd love to hear Jonathan's song and a few things more. This is a song called God's Daughters.
She just threw back her head and let it roll. But if God can make a mountain, she can birth a tiny soul. And she loves and blesses women growing old. And we celebrate God's daughters as we celebrate God's sons, for their wisdom and their courage, for the faith that makes us one. This prophet sang on freedom's holy ground. that we celebrate God's daughters as we celebrate God's sons, for their wisdom and their courage, for the faith that makes us one.
Well, thanks for coming. Any who have to rush out, but Jonathan, would you sing this song?
Sure. Just to reiterate, on Monday we were asked to think of how to characterize the feminine God or the feminine side of God. This comes up in a lot of contexts, but it definitely came up in that one. This is a song by Charlie Murphy from Seattle. It's the blood of the ancients that runs through our veins, and the forms pass, but the circle of life remains. It's the blood of the ancients that runs through our veins, and the forms pass, but the circle of life remains. It's the blood of the ancients that runs through our veins, and the forms pass, but the circle of life remains. It's the blood of the ancients that runs through our veins, and the forms pass, but the circle of life remains.
Thank you. Did you have anything, something to share, Rosie? Okay. Thank you all for coming.
I did.
Oh,
Jenny,
I'm sorry. Yes, good.
My family has ostracized me for coming up with this. It's been giving me a hard time since the last class because, but I came up with, I started out with thinking of words. I didn't understand that it was the feminine side. I thought it was an expanded side.
It really was. It was just God is like, and it was pretty open.
And in the class, we came up with mostly beautiful images, things like the wind and mother and arms reaching out. I kept coming up with support was the word that kept coming to me. So it's not that bad. So I came up with the G.O.D. Mattress Company Incorporated. Right, the time is now. The great, goodness, gracious, glorious, grace-filled, good, organic, open-hearted, old-fashioned, omniscient, omnipresent, daily, death-defeating, down-home, do-it-yourself, devil-defying Mattress Company Incorporated. For total support, dependability, lifelong durability, comfort, for a good night's sleep. Talk to our sales department. They'll make you a deal you cannot refuse.
Put something like that out because you never know what's going to come.
It was fun.
Well, I don't think any of us can top that. Wants to try your. Thank you. Thanks for the great.